near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you again. We are attempting this morning to run the sound directly through the soundboard rather than through the mic on the computer for Zoom. And I understand that the music came through much clearer than it did last week, but it generated a couple of unexpected glitches this morning. In other areas. So we're running a little late this morning, and we're just trying to figure things out as we go here. I'd like to share this morning a devotional that I've entitled, God Will Not Forsake His Saints. This is something that ministers to my own soul. It has done for years. Psalm 37 has been a favorite of mine from very early in my Christian walk. And I feel somewhat uncomfortable sharing it, because sometimes when we share things that are meaningful to us, to others it sounds like, take two aspirins and I'll call you in the morning. I believe the Word of God is powerful and living, sharper than a two-edged sword, but we really have to personalize it. It has really got to become our own. And then it ministers to us. That's my biggest prayer this morning, that as we look at this psalm, that it will not, you won't receive it simply as, here's a couple of cute verses, and but it really doesn't change my life or my situation. So I'm really praying the Holy Spirit will quicken this to each and every listener this morning, whether you're joining us right now on Zoom or whether you're picking it up later off of the website. So let's pray before we go to the Word of God this morning. Father, I thank you that we have a more sure word, that your word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Remind us, Lord, that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's got to become, Jesus, a personal word to each one of us. And only your Spirit can do that. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would have liberty and freedom in the various households that are tuning in today, that it would be a word that would be quickened to their soul, would bring hope and strength and encouragement. Remind us always that faith, hope, and love, these three abide. But the greatest of these is love. And your love for us causes you to be committed to us, that you will never forsake your saints. So I just ask that your will and your purposes would be worked through your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read the entire psalm here in just a moment. I just want to remind you, I think when this goes out, the outline, you get the main points from last week's message. The devotional last week was the discipline of waiting. And I used an object lesson from the life of J. Sidwell Baxter, a great preacher of years ago. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He was a pastor in London. He was trained in Toronto, the Baptist Seminary, and took a pastorate in London during the war years. And he had a lot of responsibilities and a lot of pressure on him. And he was taking an afternoon prayer break one day, and he went down to the river, I don't know if it was the Thames or what, and there was a stone bridge, and this frog comes up out of the water, and he's trying to jump up onto the bridge, and he keeps hitting the wall and falling back. And Baxter talked about how that's kind of how he felt. He felt like he was hitting walls that were resisting him. And then he noticed this bird coming along the river, and comes to the bridge, and up and over the bridge he goes. And that just quickened something to his own... Oh, you're going to turn it a bit so we... Keep going? Right, we're doing a fine-tuning here. He looks at the little froggy and he says, "See, little froggy, what's a big problem for you and I down here is nothing when you're soaring on wings like an eagle." And that was the object lesson for the message last week. And what I want to emphasize again, and this is kind of a follow-up to that message, while waiting, we're to take every thought captive. We shared that last week. I'm not going to re-preach that message. While we wait, we're to treasure God's promises. And while we are waiting, we look to His return. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus is speaking to the disciples and He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name," singular, "of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, what a magnificent promise that he gives there. That we have a commission, we're to do certain things, but he promises that he'll be with us. And with that word of encouragement, let's look at Psalm 37. It is not an overly long psalm. I'm going to read the entire psalm. If you have your Bible or your phone with the Bible app, I invite you to turn to Psalm 37. I have a habit of marking my Bibles. I use a color coding system. Yellow is just things I want to highlight. Green are things that I need to do in response to the Lord. I use orange just to underline promises. Purple, speaking of deity, and red, speaking of the work of Christ in redemption. And early in my Christian walk, when I was looking at Psalm 37, the first few words of a number of verses just jumped out at me. So here we go. Verse 1, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." Verse 7, "Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil." No, that's about the third time we've been commanded not to fret. "For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked." Verse 17, "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times, in the days of famine they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not repay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. That's where I'm at. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so you shall dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. There's the title of our message this morning, of our devotional. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. But the Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land, and you will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passes away. Behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. I've got that underlined in orange. What a promise for us. We walk with the Lord, he gives us a future. But transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. I want to remind you that predominantly in the Old Testament, the word salvation doesn't carry the same idea that we use in the New Testament of being delivered from sin and made right with God. The idea of salvation in the Old Testament is to be delivered from trouble, from an adversary, from a bad situation. And so it is here in verse 39. Read it again. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Amen. When I, early in my Christian life, when I was looking at this psalm, certain things jumped out at me and really caught my attention. Notice verse 1, fret not. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7, be still before the Lord. Then going all the way to 27, turn away from evil. And verse 34, wait for the Lord. God does not forsake his saints. And I want to just quickly look at these seven key verses that popped out to me years and years ago and have been a strong fortress for me through most all of my life. I've had times where I have slipped into things of fear and worry and anxiety. But this has always caught my attention. My wife has a verse that encourages her in times of difficulty, out of Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And we've seen some tough experiences in our life, and my wife has always clung to that verse with the attitude that if that's not true, then nothing in the Word is true. If that Word isn't true, then how can we trust God for salvation? But he gives us that promise that he causes. It's not a random happening. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. During this time, if I've been counting accurately, this is our 34th week in COVID. This has been a long ordeal. And I've seen where I'm employed, people getting frustrated and irritated and somewhat angry. It's not an easy time. I have great empathy for small business owners, how they're struggling during this time, and how we need to, as community citizens, support our small local businesses, because so many of them are hurting. And as I was mulling this through earlier in the week, the Lord brought me back to Psalm 37, that He will not forsake us. He desires to be with us. Early in my Christian walk, when I saw verse 1, fret not, I had the notion that that was talking about don't worry, don't be anxious. And I think I have it in the notes. Surprisingly, the thought here is not about worry. The thought is don't be angry, don't be incensed. It means to burn or to kindle, to heat oneself in vexation. We see certain things happening. It's very easy for just our natural man to get upset and angry with the things that are happening. And I'm witnessing that in a number of people that are just so tired and so frustrated with people responding in negative ways to, you know, wearing a mask and doing these various things that are required and not willing to honor social distancing and just the rules that are there to protect us. And that anger begins to rise up. And God says, listen, man, one of the keys to understanding that I'm with you, that I'm wanting to assist you, is let the anger go. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. God has holy, righteous anger, but in His anger He does not sin. And He says to us, listen, look, don't sin. I'm not overly fond of wearing a mask. I find it a little hard to breathe. I discovered that the general manager of the operation where I work says that shields are permissible, and I find that much easier for me to deal with, so I wear a shield. But actually, some people that go out and about and they refuse to put one on. And as believers, we're to honor the authority that is there and work cooperatively. And don't allow anger to well up. It cuts off the good things that God wants to do. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. To me, the opposite of anger is joy. And joy is a product of the Holy Spirit. Happiness is my response to good situations in my life. And when things go bad, I may not be happy, but I am supposed to be filled with joy. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. There are certain verses of Scripture that I call bump verses. You know, you're driving along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden you hit a speed bump and it rattles everything up. And this is a speed bump in the spirit realm for me. Count it all joy. That almost sounds morbid. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That's a hard word. Count it all joy. But it's a decision. God says, I want you to make that as an active thought process. Understanding my promises and my presence with you, I want you to count it all joy. For you know, and I often forget this, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I'm not going to stand here and try to give a prophetic word of why COVID is happening, why God is permitting it. Suffice to say this, that I don't believe that God permits anything to come in our life to destroy us, but He permits it to come in and to build up our character. One of the first things I had heard after I had given my life to Christ, and I had done that at a later stage in life, I was around 27, when I heard, and that was just months after I'd accepted the Lord, I went to a Bible camp on Vancouver Island, and Alan Mortensen was the speaker, and he was speaking, and he was using the text, from Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And for it says, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine for them to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I remember Alan Mortensen saying, God is more interested in your character than in your circumstances. I don't remember anything else he said that morning, but I have never forgotten that line. We've had some interesting times in our life. Our youngest child was born at 2 pounds, half ounce. We were living in Swift Current, and for 3 months he was in neonatal in Regina, and life was stressful. It was confusing. And God was not trying to hurt my son, nor was He trying to hurt my wife or my daughters or myself or the assembly that we were pastoring. But He was desiring to build character in us. I think it was Larry Christensen in one of his books who made the statement that all Christians are like sponges. You don't know what's in them until they're squeezed. And so often in my life, I've been squeezed by the Lord, not in what I initially regarded as a gentle, loving hug, but is in pressure that the Lord would permit me to see what was in me. And then I had to make adjustments. And many times in my life, I've had to deal with frustration and anger. And that word, fret not, is a word for John Taylor. Don't get angry. Don't fret. Let it go. Verse 2, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like... Read the rest of verse 1 there. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. There's all kinds of speculations to how COVID started. Did it start in a lab somewhere? You know? And I just, you know, to me, I'm just letting it go. God's going to deal with this. I'm not going to let my anger build. The verse 3 takes us to the very next step. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. The idea of to trust is to confide in one, to set one's hope and confidence upon anyone. Now, I don't mean this in a... Well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but unfortunately I might well mean it that way. I don't trust our federal government in this issue. I trust in the Lord. I don't... The size of the COVID situation globally is so huge. I don't think there's a single government, including the United Nations, that know how to address this and to deal with it. But my trust is in the Lord. I'm making that decision to trust God. Psalm 56 verse 3 says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in You. Psalm 62 and 8 says, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge to us. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The complexity of the things that are happening right now and how it is playing out for so many individuals. How do we address it all? How do we help them all? All we can really do is walk with them, encourage them, and point them to trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The first pastoral position that we took was in Ontario, and it was with a group that had split over the extreme position of word faith. And one of the teachings that was being said, God will give you the desires of your heart. That's a promise from God. So you desire this, you claim it in Jesus' name. And I'm sorry, I really felt that was nonsense, and there was a little bit of a residue of that in those that had remained in the assembly, because it had split over this extreme position of word faith. I never did like that phrase, word faith. I'm looking at the few people that are here this morning, and I know them fairly well. And I know that they're people of the Word. And I know that you're people of faith. So you have word faith. You believe the Word of God. You don't twist it and try to make it into something that it doesn't declare. But I heard a number of people say, but you know, Pastor John, it says God will give you the desires of your heart. And then I suddenly remembered, wait a minute, that was one of the early portions of Scripture I learned in Psalm 37, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you're delighting in the Lord, then your desire of your heart is to be full with the Lord, not to be full with the things of the world. And I took people to them, and they said, well, you're blowing up what I understand. I don't know why I said sorry, because that was my intent. We need to be people that really, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. If I'm making God my heart desire, God will deal with the rest. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do your will. Not all the time. Give thanks for all things. I haven't mastered that one. Count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. I'm not really good at that one either. You know? Bless and curse not. You ever been really hurt by somebody? It's not easy to bless them. There are portions of Scripture that I really struggle with at times. I don't delight in them, but I'm making it my desire. I really seek to do that. I fail tremendously, but you know, it's where I'm aiming at, you know. Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. One thing. Now, I'm going to test your carnality here this morning. How many have seen City Slickers? And they're out on this cattle drive. This one city guy is out there, and he's with the old cowboy. And the cow is giving birth to a calf, as if it would be a colt. And he has to reach in and help pull the calf out. And he turns around and he says, this was not in the brochure. And he says to the old cowboy, how can you do this? He says, you got to find the one thing. He says, well, what's the one thing? He says, it's different for every individual. I want to declare this morning, under the authority of the Word of God, that God has got one thing for every one of humankind that He has made. There's one thing He desires. God is not slack concerning His promises, but desires that all would come into salvation. The one thing that He has for you and I is that we would seek Him. One thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His tabernacle. And in the day of trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. And I'm looking at the situations that are around me and just the complexities that it creates. I mean, my wife is a nurse, and she's quite firm. You know, when you get home from work, the first thing you do is you go downstairs, you take your clothes off, put them in the washer, wash them, go upstairs, have a shower, and then you can come in and relax in the rest of the house. Because if there's anything on you, I want it removed. And to me, you know, it's a hassle, but you know, I want to honor my wife. And I think of all these things, and when I'm doing all those things, I don't know about you, but it's hard at times to delight in the Lord. But it's got to be a decision that John makes. I have to make that decision. Notice the next thing that he says is in verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. And then I've got underlined in orange. And He will act. Am I committing my heart and my desires to the Lord? Am I expecting Him to act? I don't know how long this COVID thing is going to go. I'm not saying that this is part of the end time signs and the return of Christ is nigh at hand. All I know is Jesus said these are the last days. And if they were the last days 2,000 years ago, then we're closer to the end than we were 2,000 years ago. This may be part of the things of wars and rumors of wars and plagues and pestilence and famines. I don't know. But all I know is this, is my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. And I commit myself to Him. I looked up the word commit here. And it means to roll. Like rolling a ball. To stand and hold achieves nothing. One must release the ball. You know, the picture that came to my mind was that of a bowling ball. You can stand there, whether it's 5-pin or 10-pin, it doesn't matter to me. You can stand there and look at those pins holding that ball all day long. But nothing's going to happen. You've got to commit to releasing that ball. It may go in the gutter. I actually was with my kids one time. And I don't know how they did it, but one of them released the ball and it went down the other lane. Almost got a strike.
In the wrong lane.
In the wrong lane. You know, saw one release the ball a little too presumptuously. And the automatic pin setter was resetting the pins and they hit the front of the pin setter. The idea is to roll. Put my concerns and my anxieties and my fears and my hopes and my dreams, to roll them onto the Lord. If I hang on to them, nothing's going to happen. When I give them to the Lord, He begins to do things. Online bowling, which requires practice and requires my own skill and abilities. When we give things to the Lord, it falls onto Him. It's His skill. It's His ability. I like Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. God is able to do it, but I need to commit it to God. If I insist on holding it, wait, isn't there a book about that, Pilgrim's Progress? He just kept picking up the sack and carrying it. Give it to the Lord. Psalm 22 and 8. He trusts in the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him. For He delights in Him. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Not might be, will be. But notice the requirement. Commit your work to the Lord. Let the Lord set the agenda. Let the Lord set the purpose. So often I set goals and I set purposes and then I try to say, okay, now God, here they are. Bless them in Jesus' name. And often I've heard God respond to me and say, that's not what I got in mind at all. You're trying to tell me, the sovereign God, what to do. And then I have to sit myself back down and delight in the Lord and trust in the Lord and look to Him to give me insight and give me direction. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. We had lots of fun here this morning trying to get things to work out right. Yesterday, and I showed a little earlier to Shelley, my wife sent me some of the pictures. We took part of the afternoon yesterday, a little better than an hour, to join in a wedding. Lynn's niece, Samantha, married a young man. And the wedding was in Ecuador, on the beach. And there were some technical difficulties because the whole thing was being done on Zoom for those here in Canada, some in the States, and Lynn's oldest brother in Africa was actually able to log in on Zoom and see Samantha's wedding. And, you know, I tried to prepare something. I trust in Christ is meaningful to the hearers, and I trust in God, but I don't trust in the technology. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We do the very best we can, and I tell you, the leadership in this assembly has really gone the extra mile to give attention to what we need in order to do things like Zoom and the various things that we're doing and to upgrade in technology. Commit your way to the Lord. The idea wasn't just to get new equipment, including the computer. The idea was to facilitate the release of the Word of God. Notice the next is in verse 7. Be still. It means to be silent. Be still. Wait. This is where it ties into last week's message. Be dumb. By dumb, I don't mean be foolish or stupid or ignorant or uninformed. It means stop speaking. It reminds me of Exodus, I think it's chapter 14. They start to murmur. The Passover's taken place. They're now at the Red Sea. They're in a valley. And Pharaoh's coming up behind them. The people start to complain, and you know they're upset. They say, you know, you brought us out here that we would, you know, die here. Is there no graves in Egypt? And Moses doesn't know what to do, and then he cries out to the Lord. And in verse 13 of chapter 14, and this isn't in your notes, I was just thinking of as we were sharing this morning, Moses said to the people, fear not. It sounds familiar to the first verse in Psalm 37. Fear not. Stand firm. It kind of reminds me of Ephesians 6. Having done all, therefore, stand. And see the salvation of the Lord. Deliverance from Pharaoh. Which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will see never again. The Lord will fight for you. And verse 14 says, and you will be silent. And I find during this time with COVID that I have to really guard my mouth. That I don't murmur about stuff. I got in the notes, pray, do not murmur. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling. The King James says, without murmuring or disputing. Philippians 4:6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, in Romans 5, it says, through the blood of Christ we have peace with God. There's no more animosity between us and God. We're now His children. But in this portion, it says, when you give things to God and you make it a prayer concern, then you begin to experience the peace of God. And that's different than having peace with God. Many believers have peace with God because they've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but their heart is filled with anxiety and concerns and fears. Then verse 27 says, turn. Turn away from evil and do good. To turn aside, to go away, to depart from a way followed by. We are called, as believers, to follow the rules of the government and to pray for those in leadership. Romans 13, verses 1 to 3 are quite adamant. Paul says, you submit to the authorities there. There's no authority given except that which is given by God. And he's talking, my beloved friends, he's talking to people in Rome under one of the most oppressive governments in history. And he says, you obey them. Now there comes a time you have to make a choice whether if they're saying to deny God. He says, better to obey God than to obey man. But as a general rule, I had an encounter with a person one time, and they were not honoring the law. And I said to them, and they were a believer, I said to them, we're to obey the authority that's there. And they said, I'm under grace, I'm not under the law. What a misuse of Scripture. You're going to go sailing through a stop sign because you're under grace and not under law? Don't be so foolish, my friends. If the law requires something of us, then we need to learn to do it unless it violates the Word of God. And we're commanded to pray for them. But as I said earlier, I don't put my trust in those things. My trust is in the Lord. And as we conclude the message this morning, the devotional, going to verse 34. Wait for the Lord. And this ties us back into the message from last week. The discipline of waiting. As we wait on the Lord, we need to be people that take every thought captive. And during this time of COVID, we need to do that. Don't let anger build. Fret not. Trust in the Lord. Beloved, delight yourself in the Lord and commit your way to Him, verse 5. Be still. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't knit and gnat. Turn away from evil. But most important, let us commit ourselves together as the people of God to pray for our government, for health officials, pray for saneness and sanity to prevail first and foremost in the Church of Jesus Christ. May we not be rebellious or foolish in our ways that we do things. And I'm not just talking about us as a local assembly, but all those across the globe that name the name of Jesus. May we be seen as sensible, caring, loving people during this very, very stressful time. This psalm, through all the years of my life since I became a believer, has meant a lot to me. And I hope that Psalm 37 will become an anchor point for you as well. And that you'll read through it, and the Lord will quicken portions to you. One of my favorite promises in this psalm is in verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Only as we walk in the Spirit of Christ. May the Lord have freedom in us to work out His will and His purposes, not just for ourselves or our families or the places that we're called to, but that we would be a light and a source of encouragement and blessing to those around us. Because, beloved, right now, there are so many hurting people. And it's not uncommon in the midst of hurt for anger to rise. Help people not to fret. Help people to put their anger away and to trust in the Lord. Let's pray, and I'm going to invite our praise team back. Father God, I thank you for your word. It's not an easy word. It's not take these verses and then everything's going to be fine. It's take these verses and infuse them into my character and into my being. That during this time of squeezing, during this time of being pressed, during this time of trial, may the church come forth clean and pure and powerful. I think of that old song by Doug Oldham, Lord, the church triumphant. God, use this to build your saints with the clear and the clear promise of God. You will not forsake us in the midst of this trial. You're with us every step of the way. So we just thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the redeeming blood of Jesus. Help us, Father, to turn to you and simply trust and obey. Amen. God bless. We'll invite the Nits up to come, and they're actually going to lead us in that hymn, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And my dear brother, yes. Sam.
Yes.
My dear brother, you can close in prayer after the hymn.
Sure, sounds good.
Sounds great. Oh, I turned it too far, did I? Oh, we could just see her there.
Closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time that we could be together, Father, whether it's over Zoom or in person, and we just want to pray to you, God, that the words that we have heard today, to trust and obey in you, Father, and to not be angry, Father, but to always rely on you no matter what. God, we just want to pray that through this time of trial, Father, we know that this isn't easy on us, but dear God, we just want to pray that no matter what would happen, that we would anchor ourselves to you, Father, and that we can always rely on you and trust. Father, we know it's not easy, but we know that through you, that when we lean on you, that you will turn our desires to you, and that, Father, you will make it easier for us. And we know that you are a good Father, that there's no evil in you, there's not a shadow of it. God, we know that you want the best for us. We just want to pray that we would set our eyes on you and that we wouldn't look anywhere else for pleasures, Father. Dear God, we just want to pray that you would bless the rest of this day. We thank you for who you are, for your word, for John preaching the word. God, just pray a blessing on him and Please lead us, Father, in this next week and the remainder of this day, God. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Before we dismiss, we have one more prayer request. I checked my phone just now, and from the Berries, we got a prayer request that we would pray for Rebecca, their daughter. At 1 o'clock this afternoon, she and Adam are getting married.
Praise God. Praise God.
May they commit their way to the Lord together. So let's pray for them. And to the Berries, I'm sorry, I just saw the message just now. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for Rebecca. I've known her for years now. What a lovely woman of God. High commitment to you. Lord, she's seen some confusing days, but you've led her way. And in that leading, you brought a Christian man into her life. And this afternoon, they're going to make the vow before you to walk with you together. So Lord, we pray favor and blessing upon this union. We pray that, Lord God, you would lead and guide and direct them in the call and the ministries that you have for them. We ask this to the praise of your glorious name. And the saints of God all say, Amen. Amen. God bless.